The scripture reading for today is Exodus chapter 4, 1 through 17. The title is called Signs for Moses. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous, like snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored, like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow in speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "O Lord, please send somebody else to do it." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if he were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it." Here ends today's reading of God's Word.
Good morning, everyone. I know many of you, as I look out and this time of year, I know many of you are starting something brand new chapter in your life. Either you're going back to school in a couple weeks, or you're going, you've been to college, you've kind of had a good summer, and you're going back. Or, this may be for some of you, it's like the first time. This is like, hey, you're going off to college. You're like, this is a brand new chapter in your life. And the fall seems to be kind of one of those seasons where everyone kind of gets a new start. It's kind of a new start in our lives, a new beginning. And what I want for you guys, what I hope for you guys, is that this fall that you would experience God in a more fuller sense. This summer, I don't know what your summers have been like with the Lord. If you've had it, if you've been walking closely with the Lord, or if you've kind of like gone off. But, in the fall, it's kind of like a new chapter. And my prayer for you is that you would experience Him in a greater sense, a fuller sense, in ways that maybe you haven't experienced Him before. And, one of the ways that we that we have the opportunity to experience God. And I really am excited for those of you who are, I'm excited for those who are going back to college, but I'm even more excited for you who are starting college, because when you go back and it's like this brand new place, and there's a lot of opportunities and there's a lot of new things to see and experience, a lot of times, this is the times, these new chapters or these new openings in your life is when you have the opportunity to experience God more deeply in a new way. When he, particularly, it may not be this fall, but there'll be times if you continue to walk with the Lord, there'll be times when God will ask you, kind of like this picture, he will ask you to kind of just step out in faith in something big. If you walk with him long enough, God will ask you to do something big. He will ask you to do something big. And that is an opportunity just knocking at your door to experience him in a way that you've never experienced him before. It's just an opportunity. It's when you hear him speak, it's like he's asking you something, you're experiencing something new, and he's asking you to go out and do something, and you hear him clearly, like, I know you're asking me to do this. And you feel like maybe like this person might feel like, whoa, this is big. You might feel a little bit overwhelmed. You might feel a little bit inadequate. But man, and you might feel like, I will never be able to accomplish what you're asking me to do, God, on my own. So you may feel like it might be like this really scary, where you have to really trust God. It might feel really inadequate, but it's also one of the most exciting, most thrilling times. Most thrilling. If you've ever experienced this, where God has put something in front of you, right in your path, and you know it's God speaking to you. It's not like, I'm not really sure, maybe this is God, you know God is speaking to you. Man, it is just thrilling, because you know that you are on the cusp of seeing and experience God in a way that you've never experienced him before. Seeing him and his power and him moving in a way that you've never experienced him before. It's kind of an opportunity. Again, what we've been talking about is, what we want is we want God to come off the pages of our Bible. Because God can become very heady. God can become very theoretical. God become very like an idea, something that we read about daily, something we get kind of even bored with. But we want him to come off the page and like into our lives. Let's turn to, we read in Exodus, okay, but I want you to keep your finger in Exodus, but flip your Bibles back to Hebrews. Hebrews sounds like it's in the Old Testament, but it's actually in the New Testament. It's towards the back of your Bible. Turn to Hebrews 11. Okay, Hebrews 11. I'm just going to read one verse out of Hebrews 11. It's chapter 11, verse 1. It says this. Now faith, this is what faith is, you guys. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We talked about revelations a lot, and we know that this is coming, and it's like being certain of what we do not see. So I know that like faith, when we talk about faith, sometimes you're like, well, I am not experiencing God right now. I don't see him moving. I don't hear him talking to me. But faith is like, hey, I am certain that God is at work. I am certain that God is alive. I am certain that God speaks. He's not a silent God. He's not a dead God. We know that he's always working. So there's sometimes, yes, where it is like, it is by faith. I know, God, the last time you heard, you spoke to me, you told me to do this. There are some commandments that I see in the Bible that you're telling me, so I'm going to go ahead and do those. I don't experience you. I don't see you working right now, but by faith, I know that you are alive. I know that you're working. And sometimes your walk will be like that. It will be certain of those things that you do not see. We do not see God, but I am certain that you're there. And that's how your faith will be sometimes. But flip back to Exodus. Exodus 4, where we were at. And there's other times where God chooses in his own sovereignty to go, okay, it's time for me to show myself to Joe. It's time for me to show myself to Vic. It's time for me. I'm going to speak into your life, and you will know that it's me. You'll know it's me. Okay? There's times when he, during his timing and his place, when he wants to show you something, God will show something to you. Okay? So we've been following the story of Moses. And here's some of the realities that we've seen in looking at the story of Moses, right? We saw that God is always at work. We already knew that God was working already. Even before he spoke to Moses through the burning bush, God had plans. He was already actively working. And then we also saw that God pursues a love relationship with us. Again, we kind of saw that Moses knew about God. He'd been following God. He chose not to live in Pharaoh's house. But man, we can't hear him, right? We can't experience God if we're not in a relationship with him. I guess I take that back. We can experience him like the Pharaoh experienced him. The Pharaoh didn't know him, but yet definitely experienced God. I don't want to experience him that way. I want to experience him like Moses did. But God, we can't experience him if we're not in this relationship. But the cool thing is that God is pursuing us. He comes after us again and again. Even when we're not faithful, he comes after us, all right? And then he said, and then we saw that God invites us to join him in his work. So the question sometimes for us is like, what we want is we want God to work in our lives the way we want him to work, right? We're like, this is my plan, God. Can you join me in my plan? Because this is my plan. Can you help me with my plan? Get over here, get behind me, empower me to do what you want me to do. But sometimes it's like, no. It's actually the other way around. It's like, oh, God, show me where you're working and speak to me so that I can join in what you're doing around me, right? And so when you go onto campus this fall, you know that God's already working and he's inviting us to be a part of what he's doing. There'll be people that you will meet that he's already doing something in. Then we saw God speaks to us. God speaks to us in several different ways. There's several ways. This is a big question that I hear a lot of times you guys asking is like, how do I know if it's God, right? And we'll talk a little bit about that. I'm going to have a whole series on that, actually, of how God speaks. But in this case, God chooses to speak to Moses through a burning bush. And again, I'm like, I do wish that God would just speak to me through my lilac bush in front, but he hasn't yet. But this, in this case, this is how he's chosen to speak through Moses, to Moses. And so I want you guys to be able to experience God. Let me, before we get into our passage, I want to go to him now and just ask him to speak to us this morning, okay? Father God, your word says that where two or more are gathered in your name, that you are here. So we know that you're in the room right now, and we know that your Holy Spirit is active, and we pray that you would speak into, there might be a special message you have for one or two or three or four, or all of us, Lord. So I pray you'd speak through me this morning. Pray you'd speak through Exodus that you inspired Moses to write. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so he's speaking to Moses through this burning bush. And as Stephen read, he tells Moses, leading up to the passage that we're in Exodus 4, he tells Moses, you know what, Moses, I want you to gather up all. Moses is out with Jethro, and he's like tending sheep. And he says, you know what, Moses, through the bush, I want you to gather, go back to the people who are with Pharaoh, who are enslaved right now, and I want you to go back to them. I want you to get all the leaders together. Gather up all the leaders. Tell the leaders that you, the leaders, Moses, you, and the leaders, we are going to go to the Pharaoh. We're going to knock on his door. We're going to tell him that we're taking a 3-day vacation. We're leaving. Okay? Let him know that we're taking off. And, also, let him know that, or actually let the people know, let the leaders know that they are to ask, the women are to ask their neighbors for all their silver and gold and clothing, and they will give it to you. And so you can kind of see in the beginning of chapter 4, you can kind of see why Moses was questioning, why Moses would go, okay, God, are you serious? What if they don't believe me? So God, Moses might have said something like, So God, you're telling me, God, you're telling me that I am supposed to go to the leaders who I've been out of Israel, I've been out of, from away from my people for quite some time. I've been tending sheep for years, and you're telling me that I'm supposed to go to them, and I'm supposed to tell them that we're supposed to knock on Pharaoh's door and tell him that we are leaving, that we've been enslaved for 400 years, but you're just going to let us go. And not only that, is that they're just going to give us the gold, the silver. I mean, it would be like knocking on your neighbor's door and saying, I'd like you to give me your credit card, your cash, and your checkbook, and I'm going to be leaving now, okay? Would you please do this? Because I've got to go on a vacation. Could I have your cash, right? You can understand why Moses is like, are you serious? You're asking me to go to tell the people this? They're never going to believe me, all right? So Moses, you can understand why Moses has these objections. And there's two objections that we see in this passage that was just read. Moses has two objections. And you will probably see this when God speaks to you, when God talks to you, and he's telling you to do something big, objections will come up. Objections by other people will come up. Objections in your own heart will come up. Okay, you'll be like, I'm not sure. And so this first objection is, hey, what if they don't believe me? What if I go to the leaders and they say, you're crazy. God is not speaking to you through a bush. Or you might go, I've been in prayer. I'm telling my friends, you're telling your parents, God has been speaking to me in this way. And you might hear, you're crazy. God doesn't talk to you that way. God's not saying that to you. All right? And so he's like, what if they don't believe me? And so what God does when he calls us to do something big is oftentimes, and Joe Chilufo on Saturday nights, you guys remember this maybe a month and a half ago, a lot of the times what he does when he asks us to do something big is that he asks us, what's in your hand? He asks Moses, what's in your hand? He'll ask you, what do you have already? All right, what do you already have in your hand? And we see that Moses, he's like, okay, I've got a staff. He's like, Moses, throw it on the ground. Moses throws it on the ground. It turns into a snake. Moses screams like a girl. He jumps back. And then he says, Moses, just go ahead and pick it up by its tail. And it turns back into a staff, right? And he says, like, this is so that they may believe you. All right, so think about it. This fall, as you walk with the Lord, as you're in touch with him, as you're praying with him, as you're like reading his word, as people, God's people are around you and they're speaking to you and you might hear certain things from them, God may ask you, may challenge you to be a part of something. I don't know what. But then he's like, what do you have in your hand? What have I already given to you? All right? Because a lot of times he will use what you already have. This is Elaney. I don't know Elaney, but I saw her on. I found her story on. It's called. Have you guys ever heard of The Revolution? Revolution.com. It's by Brett and Alex Harris. They wrote a book. I can't remember the name of the book, but it's a cool book. But anyways, I saw her on this website. She's 22-year-old. She lives in Oregon. She tells her journey kind of on this website. She's gone through a lot of, as a young person, she's gone through a lot of sickness. She didn't get kind of into exactly what it is. But God gave Elaney a heart for orphans in India, particularly. Orphans in India. She's like, in India, orphans, everyone in India apparently has to wear a uniform, kind of like a private school. So a lot of the kids, you know, they go to school, they do have uniforms, but when they go home, they don't have clothes. So I don't know if the state provides for them or if they can just get a uniform, but they don't have clothes. And so many of the orphans grow up in an environment of human trafficking, of turmoil, of brokenness, of poverty. And so God gave Eleni like this heart for these orphans. I don't know how God looked on her journey, kind of like what, like how did you go to India? I'm not sure, but God gave her this heart for this burden for these orphans, and so she set out to raise $50,000, which is, I think, is God's size. Like, I don't, that's like a lot of money. Like, think of our car washes. We make about $300. How many car washes is that? It's like a, you know, like 1,000, 10,000 car washes. You know, it's a lot of money, you know. So God gave Eleni this heart for these Indian orphans, and she wanted to raise $50,000 in 100 days for these orphans, and really a God-sized task. But one thing that God put in Eleni's hand, one thing that she already had, was she has a passion for fashion, you know. And you're like, well, okay, well, how are you going to use fashion at all to are you going to design clothes for orphans and send it to them? Or, but and she, even on her face, on her, not her Facebook, on her website, she's like, I know that like fashion is just a luxury, you know. The reason why I'm into fashion at all is because I live in the United States and I can think about this. But she designed stuff. And so what she decided to do, she got an idea from one other woman who'd done this before. She's like, I'm going to design clothes and wear a dress each day for 100 days and get the word out. I'm going to design a different dress each day and wear these dresses and get the word out to raise money, $50,000, for these orphans. So it's weird to think that, like, hey, someone has... In her mind, what she had in her hand was fashion, but she's gotten the word out. She's got a, here's an orphan that she, one of the orphans that she has on her website, but she's gotten the word out, and she's got a website, and I think she's somehow connected with Brett and Alex Harris to this revolution. But you can go on YouTube, and it actually shows like the first 100 days of every different kind of dress that she wore, and people you can give online, and she has like a place you can text online to give, and I noticed her blog, like some people are asking like, oh, could I have the pattern for that dress, you know, and but she's, last time I checked, she had raised $33,000 towards this ministry, and. Towards this ministry of clothing kids in India. But the point is that it is simply just what God had already given her in her hand, all right? I'll use the example of Jesse Chan and Young. They were like, hey, Jesse's not here right now, but Young is. Earlier this summer, like they were like, hey, we play tennis. You know, you of course know Jesse plays tennis a lot and is really good at tennis. Young, not so much as good, but still plays tennis and was still, you know, still a tennis player. But they're like, hey, let's do a ministry where we have just a small group of guys. We'll run a small tennis camp, and all the proceeds will go towards ministry. It's like whatever you have in your hand. And so for many of you, some of you have a cello in your hand. Some of you have a violin in your hand. Some of you have a piano. Some of you have artwork. Some of you have, I don't know, maybe some of you have fashion, some of you have, I mean, there's all different kinds of things that God has placed in your hand. God has already given you something. And if not, God is in the process. He's in the process of giving you something, okay? And that is what God is going to use or can use when he calls you to do something big. And so with Moses, he first said, okay, here's a take your staff, throw it on the ground, it'll become a snake, they'll believe you. If not that, take your hand, put it in your cloak, pull it out, it'll be leprous, put it back in, pull it out, it'll be clean. Okay. If not that, take some water from the Nile, pour it on the ground, it'll turn into blood. By then, the leaders should believe you. I would hope that the leaders would believe you by that point. All right? So, but God will use whatever is like, he had water, he had his hand, he had a staff, and that's what God used. That's what God used. But there's something else, the second objection that comes up for Moses. Look at verse 10. Look in verse chapter 4, verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." So Moses is like, "God, I am not a speaker. I don't get up in front of people. I don't give speeches. I'm not an orator. Some people think that maybe when it says he was slow of speech and of tongue, that he may have maybe had a stammer or a stutter, you know? Some people may think, he's like, "I don't do this." And look how God responds. So a lot of times when God gives you something big, what happens is you're like, "Well, yeah, but look at me, God. I don't have that. I don't have that ability. I can't do that. You're asking the wrong person." And notice how God responds. He doesn't say, "Yeah, you're right, Moses. You can't speak very well. You're not an orator. You don't give good speeches. It's okay. You're okay." He doesn't say that to God. He doesn't say that to Moses at all. Look what he says. The Lord said to him, "Moses, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind?" He's like, "Moses, it's not about you. I'm not asking you to do it. I'm asking you to do it. I'm saying I will give you the power to do what you need to do. I am the one." It's not that you, yes, you absolutely are inadequate. That is true. You're not an eloquent speaker. That is true. But it's not about you. It's about me. It's about what I'm able to do. What I'm able to do, right? Who gave man his mouth? But what happens is still, like, I've had this before. You know, maybe you've had this experience before where God puts something large in front of you. And Moses, I have a similar reaction to Moses. And maybe you will have a similar reaction to Moses. "Oh, Lord, send somebody else to do it. Like, not me. This is too big for me. I'm too scared to do this. I don't have the ability to do this." But the Lord's anger said, burned against Moses, you know? And he's like, fine, Moses. I'll send you your brother. In fact, right now, Aaron is on his way, and he'll speak. I'll help you. Look at what he says. He is already on his way to meet you. His heart will be glad when he sees you. God still provides, even though Moses says, "No, I don't want to do it. Send somebody else." God says, "Okay, I'll still provide for you. I'll send Aaron along. Aaron will help you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will help both of you and help both of you speak, and will teach you what to do." God will show you. God will teach you what to do. He doesn't give you something big and then pushes you out on your way and just hopes for the best. He's like, "Would you be my hands? Be my voice? Be my feet? And I will help you do it. I will give you the power to do it." But you may, and I hope you do, feel like Moses, where you're like, "I can't. I'm too small." And God says, "Well, I'm big enough," right? When Luke and Anita, when they were talking about